Don't worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God to begin with. In the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this, as was everyone in Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law and asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" "In Bethlehem in Judea," they said, "for this is what the prophet wrote, 'And you, O Bethlehem in the land of Judah, are not least among the ruling cities of Judah, for a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for my people Israel.'" Then Herod called for a private meeting with the wise men, and he learned from them the time when the star first appeared. Then he told them, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child, and when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too." After this interview, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house and saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When it was time to leave, they returned to their own country by another route, for God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod. Father, thank you once again for the wonderful and the blessed story of Christmas, the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ into the world as the greatest gift the world has ever received. Father, stir us more and more as believers to be wise enough to make time to read all the way through the Christmas narratives, Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and Luke chapters 1 and 2, several times through the Christmas story, so that your Holy Spirit can teach us more and more about the wonderful Christmas story that has so much to teach us all of our lives. We thank you and praise you and stir us and set us on fire afresh with the spirit of evangelism and discipleship, and use just the reading of your word and the hearing of your word to stir us to be the flaming evangelist during the Christmas season and beyond that you've called us to be. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, thank you so much for the power and the authority of your word. Father, thank you so much for how in your word you reveal yourself to us. Father, thank you so much for how in Jesus you revealed yourself to us. Thank you so much for the love that you have for us. And Father, I ask that it would be an inspiration, that it'd be life-changing for all of us and our listeners, that we could grow deeper in a relationship with you and more in the likeness of how you've made us to be. Father, thank you so much that you have great plans, that you have great treasures awaiting for us if we'll just follow you. And Father, I just ask that you'd help us to grow in obedience, not just listening to your word, not just understanding a little bit of what scripture says, but that would grow by experientially understanding who you are through obeying your word. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. We're honored to have with us in studio once again, Pastor Jerry Lawson. He's the pastor of Enon Cumberland Presbyterian Church in Ackerman, Mississippi. And he's going to share with us about a wonderful tool that AFA uses on a yearly basis as a wonderful witness tool, the AFA Christmas buttons. Pastor Lawson, how are you today?
If I was doing any better today, I'd be in heaven with Jesus.
All right. Well, it's always good to have you and an honor to have you. And I want to let you, if you'll take a moment to further introduce yourself, and then we want to dive right in to talk about the AFA Christmas buttons.
Well, I guess I'm 72 years old. The Lord called me into the ministry when I was 14, and so I've been serving him ever since. And I pastor the Enon Cumberland Presbyterian Church, a wonderful group of people that are very, very tolerant. And I've been there 28 years, December the 24th, and it's been a wonderful, wonderful ministry.
Amen. Amen. And you have, by the grace of God, you've been a great ambassador working with AFA and sharing about the wonderful witnessing tool that we refer to as AFA Christmas Buttons. Just to mention to our listeners, this is a tool that if you're interested in getting them, you can go to resources.afa.net, and they come in packages of 10, and they come in colors red or green. But Pastor Jerry, would you share with our listeners just your heart about why the buttonesses are just such a wonderful tool for us to use this time of year?
Well, when you put that Christmas button on, it just, to me, it makes me cognizant of the, more so of the life that I'm living, because people see that Jesus button on you. And by wearing that button, it's an invitation to start a conversation maybe with a person that's hurting. Some people look at the button and just, gee, I wish I had one of those. It allows me to start a conversation with them. And there's so many of my forever family that I've never met before, I'll never meet again. Mm-hmm. But the Christmas button, the Jesus button, it's Jesus that brings us together. And every time I pass out a button, I get a sparkle of joy in my heart thinking I've made a decision that's going to either plant a seed for Christ in that person's life, or maybe you run across a person that's hurting, and you give them that button, and you tell them, Jesus wants you to have this button today. It's just, it's something tangible that tells you spiritually he's with you. And it just, people light up when you give them something. We all want something, and for me, Jesus Christ and passing out Christ to others, Lord knows the world gives them things they don't need.
That's right.
But
That's right.
I sure do like passing out these buttons, and I get a joy out of each button that I pass out. If you want to, you know, light your Christmas up, share a Christmas button with somebody. Preachers out there, get them, put them in the entranceway of your church and let people wear the Jesus button. It's just a wonderful time of year.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for sharing that, Pastor Jerry. You know, and I would just mention that, of course, both the buttons, one of them, Jesus, our living hope, and it says Merry Christmas as well, and that's the green one. And the red one says, Jesus, he came for you, Merry Christmas as well. If you'd like to get some of the buttons, you can go to resources.afa.net, and they come in packages of 10. And as Pastor Jerry, you alluded to, it's a wonderful witnessing tool because it's a seed. And anytime you give someone something of this nature, it's a wonderful seed to point people to begin to encourage them to think about Jesus, who he is and what he's about. Because, you know, sadly, we can go through the whole Christmas season and many of people have never read through the Christmas narratives. And many times people think of gift giving, receiving, that sort of thing. But they may not really think much about Jesus himself. And he is what Christmas is all about from beginning to end.
Well, I mean, that's the reason for the season, as we say.
And
but we should be sharing Christ every day of the year.
That's right.
And these Christmas buttons, Joseph, going back 20 years, I have so many precious memories in so many ways that God has touched me and blessed me, and I have so much to be thankful for. And one of those things that down through the years I've been thankful for is for Mr. Weileman and these Christmas buttons, and what a blessing they've been to so many people.
Would you take a moment now specifically to pray for believers to grow to have a passion to be about the work of sharing about Christ? Because, you know, in all of life, there's nothing more important than Jesus and knowing Jesus and living for him. Yet people can live life doing so many things and not bother with Jesus. And what a tragedy. Would you pray for believers to become passionate and flaming servants and ambassadors for God's kingdom, sharing, you know, whether they use a Christmas button or any other tool, to share the Jesus in their heart with the world around them?
Heavenly Father, I don't tell you anything you do not know. And for years, even in the ministry, it's so easy for me to express my Christianity and to share the word on Sunday mornings and Wednesday evenings. But Father, probably these Christmas buttons, I thank you so much for them, because it was your Father, way of bringing out Christ in me in the community. It was a little bit intimidating at first, but Father, I've learned how to approach people and talk to people about Jesus and to receive the love of Jesus back from those that I encounter along the pathway of life. And Father, for those that might be a little bit intimidated by sharing their faith, they should come to realize that you have always promised to be with us and to go before us. And Father, you will lead us in the things that we should do and the things that we should say. Father, you want us to be an effective witness for you. And so I would pray, if there is a person out there that's intimidated, just the simple things in life, I thank God that he loves me and he loves you. I would be so thankful, Father, for a person to just pull up their, put on their big boy, big girl pants and go out there and just let the world know Jesus is within me. I have a light in me, a love in me, and I just want to share it with other people and to tell individuals, you know, it's been a great day. And when people ask you, how are you doing? Tell them. If I was doing any better, I'd be in heaven with Jesus right now. As you think, so you are. Think on the things that Christ has given to you, the love of Christ for you, and to share that with others. Bring it to the surface in your life and let the world see the light that is within you. Get it out from under the basket. It will bless you more than it will the world. Father, I thank you that Jesus Christ made Father, a forgiven sinner saved by grace, Jerry Lawson, and Father, the world of Christianity. What a joy knowing that Christ is with me right now and blessing me with his AFA family today. So I would pray that others, Father, would find the courage to go out there and you'll find that Christ is with you and he will go before you and it'll bless you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Isaac, you had something you wanted to share.
Yeah, I just wanted to say one little thing. Absolutely, this is a great tool for evangelism and for sharing the gospel, but it's also a great tool for keeping Jesus in your own mind. What Pastor Jerry was just talking about, like sometimes we might go through our days without really thinking about the Holy Spirit, without thinking about Jesus, and wearing something like this might not just be a reminder or a tool for sharing with others, but with keeping Jesus in your own mind too. And that's a really valuable thing as well.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for sharing that, Isaac. Again, if you'd like to get Christmas buttons for your own use, you can go to resources.afa.net. They come in packages of 10. They come in colors red or green, and they both some of them have, if you want to get the kind that have a pin behind them, you can get that kind, or there's another kind that uses a magnet to keep it on your clothes as well. Both are available. Pastor Jerry, in the last few seconds before this segment ends, anything else you want to share with our listeners in the way of encouragement to get involved with this project?
Well, it's a wonderful time of year for Christians to come out and share their faith in the community. And I've started now, when they start putting the Christmas decorations out in these department stores, I start wearing my Christmas buttons and I start passing them out. And people out there think, gee, well, 15, 20 buttons, two or three packs of 10, I don't know. I've done passed out 1,200 this year, and that's 1,200 blessings that I've received. Give the gift of a Christmas button to somebody else, and it will bless you.
Amen. Amen. Our in-studio guest this segment, Pastor Jerry Lawson, the pastor of Enon Cumberland Presbyterian Church in Ackerman, Mississippi. We'll be right back. Music from Hillsong with Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We have with us for the balance of our broadcast today, we have the privilege of having with us Sister Sherry Hopper. She's the director of Sherry Hopper Ministries. Sherry, how are you today?
I'm doing well, Pastor Joseph. How are you today?
Real good, real good. Well, thanks for joining us. And let me just mention to our listeners, Sister Sherry has, we've had the privilege of having her on in the past on a number of occasions. She has a very powerful testimony that has many different sides to it that touch and minister to the lives of so many people in different ways. And she's been involved with ministry that ministers to people in many ways as well. So we're grateful to have her. So, Sister Sherry, if you would just dive in, just however you want to further introduce yourself and share your journey with the Lord.
Absolutely. So my ministry is called Sherry Hopper Ministries. I have a website. It is sherryhopper.com. And so there's so much to my story, so I'm going to try to be brief here. I would like to talk today about, if it's okay, about the abortion and the healing process that happened regarding that. So when I was 15, I got pregnant. I come from a history of abuse, and I'm sure we've covered that on other shows. But at 15, I got pregnant and, excuse me, and found myself in a situation that I didn't know what to do. And after seeking advice from several different people and no one actually advising me correctly, I ended up having an abortion. And shortly after the abortion, I found out the horrific fact of what I had done to my unborn child. And after that, I went through literally decades of just dark depression and suicidal tendencies where I just didn't feel like I deserved to live. And it was a long, hard road to live, a long, hard battle that I faced, and the enemy was just beating me up at every turn. But it was probably in my mid-40s when a friend of mine told me to take it to Jesus. And Pastor Joseph, that's when everything changed for me. When I got down on my knees and I talked to God about that, which I had never done before, and he revealed, you know, quite a few things to me in that prayer sessions that I had with him, that he wasn't mad at me and that he forgave me for what I had done. It's as if he knew that I was deceived and that, you know, I didn't mean to do what I did. You know, I didn't know the extent of what I was doing until after I had done it. But, you know, Pastor Joseph, isn't it just like the devil to tell us to go do something and then throw it in our face mm-hmm. and tell us what a horrible person we are after it's done?
That's right. That's right. Well, Sherry, would you take a moment specifically to pray for individuals, women, and of course we know that women and men have gone down the road. You have many men who have encouraged or tried to coerce someone else to get an abortion as well, who have been maybe in similar situations like the one you faced at the age of 15, and some who are very much in the midst of struggle because of that decision in their life, whether it was 20 years ago or within the last 12 months maybe. But would you pray for those persons that they would really desire to take their burden, their challenges, and their heart to Jesus because he's the only one that can forgive and heal? Would you pray for those persons?
Absolutely. Father God, I come to you today and I ask you to open up our hearts, soften our minds and our hearts to you that we can receive you. God, give us the knowledge to know that you care for us and that you forgive us and that you're not mad at us. Lord, give us the strength to boldly come to you or humbly come to you, however we need to, and get that forgiveness and get that peace and start that healing process. Because, God, you're the only one that can heal us from this kind of brokenness, from this deep, deep hurt. There's no counseling or pills or drugs that can truly heal us but the blood of Jesus, that forgiveness and that renewing of our minds that Romans 12:2 speaks of. God, I ask you right now to reach those that are lost, that are hurt, that are seeking healing, and however method that they're seeking it, that they find you, that you call them to you, and you bring that healing that only you can give them, Lord. And Father, I ask for the fathers that are involved. For every abortion, there is a father that's involved. And God, I ask you to reach them and heal them. Oftentimes, they had no say over what the woman decided to do with their child. And oftentimes, they are devastated, just like the woman is afterwards. So I've got to ask you to give them peace and comfort and healing in the process of all of this. The enemy is out to kill, steal, and destroy, but Father, you are out to give us love and life more abundantly, and I praise you for that, God. I praise you that you love us in all of our mess. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sherry. You know, Sherry, I think of this, too, in relation to what you shared, you know, on your journey. You said that as a 15-year-old, no one in your world gave you the right advice of prayerfully encouraging you to keep your baby. Is that correct?
That's right. Everybody told me it was my decision, and I was too young to have a decision. You know, I didn't know the right decision to make, and nobody would guide me. Everybody just said, it's your decision.
Mm. You know, what a tragedy it is that happened in your life. And I think of this too. There's such a need for us, the church, to recognize that we're called to share the truth and love to a world that needs to hear it about every issue, every challenge in life, and certainly about this one. There's such a need for the church to boldly, in love, speak the truth about life, that every child is precious, and that it's not just one of those things that, well, you, whatever you want to do, that God will go along. Not at all. God says, choose life that you and your offspring may live. And also one of the clear commandments, the Ten Commandments, says, you shall not murder. So there's a great need for us in the church to speak to the truth in love and help people to know what God's word has to say. God is very clear. He wants us to let that child live. Keeping the baby or considering adoption. And that's a message that needs to be trumpeted so much louder and clearer in our culture today that tries to say, well, whatever you choose to do is okay. That's just not true. So I'm going to ask, and I want to invite you to pray, and then I'm going to pray as well, for the church to really rise up to be the vessel of love and mercy and compassion that's called to speak the truth. Speak it in love, but to speak it so that people can hear it and respond correctly.
Amen. So, Father God, I come to you and I ask you for the church to be the church that you created, God, the church that speaks to sinners and fallen people and mentors and disciples us in a way that we should leave, that teaches sin is bad and harmful, and it's not that God Almighty is being mean and hateful, but that you are protecting us from the destruction of the enemy, that these rules and laws that you have provided are guidelines for a joyful, happy, and peaceful life, that these rules are rules to protect us from the devourer, from the destruction that the enemy has set up against us. God, I ask you to give the church a boldness to teach what you have put forth in your word. God, I was raised in church, and nobody ever taught me that life began at conception. We didn't speak of those things. But God, we're in a fallen world. This world is full of destruction. The church is here to lead us out of that destruction. So for the church not to speak about sin, not to teach what is holy and righteous, is wrong. God, help us to teach your word at all stages of life. We cannot not talk about sin in the church. That's where we need teaching. God, I ask you to give the church a boldness to honor you and your word and to disciple your people. In Jesus' name, amen.
And Father, I do thank you for your church, the body of Christ in the world, the church that you've called to proclaim the truth, to proclaim the gospel and the truth to a world that desperately needs to hear it. Father, anoint us afresh with the spirit of grace, compassion, and peace that would encourage us to be faithful to speak your truth no matter what the circumstances, speaking it always in love, certainly, but speaking the truth so that people can know what your will is and know what your heart is. Help us to know, Lord, your word gives clarity to so many areas of life. Yet we live in a world that tries to say that there's so many other options or things that we can decide on our own. Help us to know, Lord, that your way is the best way to do any and everything. Your word is always right. Your word is always what is in the best interest of everyone. Help us, Lord, as the church as a whole and individually, to be committed to speaking the truth in love to a world that really needs to hear that. And help us to know, Lord, that all of us are vessels you can use to help people know your will as we simply speak your truth daily. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. Sherry, I'm going to share, as this is something we often do in the broadcast, an article, and I want to get you to respond to it because, again, it too addresses the reality that we live in a world that even people in positions of authority will often give ungodly advice, ungodly counsel, and misleading advice to women who find themselves expecting a baby at a tough time. And so I'm going to share the article, and then I want to ask you if you'll respond. And we may have to finish it on the other side of the break, but we'll pick up there. The article is entitled, okay, Christmas, Crisis, Pregnancy, and Life. Again, the title, Christmas, Crisis, Pregnancy, and Life. Interwoven into the fabric of the wonderful story of Christmas is this unique truth. Christmas and expecting moms go hand in hand. Yes, pregnancy, and specifically crisis pregnancy, has a precious, heartwarming tie to Christmas. How so? Actually, it's very obvious. The Christmas story has not just one, but two unusual pregnancies. The specific story within the Christmas story is captured in Luke chapter 1. Two mothers meet, come together, and worship and fellowship with each other. One is a teenage mother that has miraculously conceived by a virgin pregnancy. The other mom is one who would normally be classified as a grand or great-grandmother based on her age, yet she too is an expecting mom during this season. We often see and think of this story as a warm, lovely story full of grace, peace, and joy, and it is. Yet the world then was in so many ways a very harsh, cruel, and perilous world to live in, a world where foreign armies occupied Israel, a world where kings and nations sometimes killed babies in large numbers, and where jealousy and disloyalty abounded. Actually, it sounds a lot like the world we live in today. Our world is one where children can legally be killed from conception right up until the moment of delivery. And governments not only do not oppose this, they often finance the carrying out of these tragedies. And often, so-called, quote-unquote, experts advise, for all sorts of foolish and trivial or misguided reasons, advise women to end the lives of their babies in the womb. And time again, the women are advised to terminate their children based on the quote-unquote wisdom of so-called insight of these quote-unquote experts. All the while, the counsel and clear guidance from God's word is clear: you shall not murder. Exodus 20:13. God's word is our guidebook for life. His word will never lead us to make a bad or unwise decision. God himself is wisdom. So we need to stand on the wisdom of God's word, which always leads us to blessing, grace, and fulfillment. The word of God says, choose life that both you and your descendants may live. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. In looking at the beautiful and grace-filled stories of Christmas, let's consider a what-if scenario in seeking to bring together the world at the time of the first Christmas and today with our culture and perspective. Again, what if? Dr. Johann eyed his young patient long and hard. Young Miss Mary, you're just a teenager. You're not even fully an adult. You really need to think this through. It simply would not be wise for you to keep this baby. You're not married. You do not know how to tell your betrothed that you are pregnant, and you're just a child yourself. Child, you must listen to wisdom. If you keep this baby, your betrothed will surely divorce you. You'll be a single mother, and you'll be poor and a single mother all your life. No one will want you. You'll end up all alone and die in poverty, and no one will ever even remember your name. Your child will surely amount to nothing, and no one will ever remember his name either. You must not keep this baby. Trust me, I'm a doctor, and we know all about matters like this. Be reasonable, little Miss Mary. You and the rest of the world will be so much better off if we just quietly do away with this baby. What do you say? Mary's response, good day, doctor. I'm keeping my baby. Mark my words, said Dr. Johann. You and your baby will never amount to anything, and no one will ever even remember your names. We'll pick up there on the other side. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we're sharing from an article entitled Christmas, Crisis, Pregnancy, and Life. We'll be right back. Kristen Getty with What Child Is This? Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We continue now sharing from an article entitled Christmas, Crisis, Pregnancy. And once again, our phone guest today is a Sherry Hopper of Sherry Hopper Ministries. Again, picking up with the article Christmas, Crisis, Pregnancy, and Life. Dr. Johann looked at the elderly woman very curiously. Listen, Elizabeth, I don't know how in the world this came to be, you being pregnant when you're old enough to be someone's great-grandmother yourself, but let me be straight with you. You really should not keep this child. With your being so old and carrying a child, there will probably be something wrong with the baby. A woman your age could not possibly have a healthy child. The child will probably have many problems. At your age, who knows, you and the child could both die during childbirth. Be reasonable. Make it easy on yourself and the baby and just get rid of it. If the child does survive childbirth, he'll probably have so many problems, he probably won't even be able to talk. His life will never amount to anything. He'll probably grow up to be a burden on society and nothing else. Mark my words, I'm a physician and we understand all about these kinds of things. Don't you think you should do away with the baby? Elizabeth's response was, good day, doctor. I'm keeping my baby. Then Dr. Johann's final response, suit yourself, old woman, but know this, that you and the whole world will regret your decision. I'm a professional, and I know very well how these kinds of things turn out. Again, the title of the article, Christmas, Crisis, Pregnancy, and Life, with insights to really consider about the life issue and the powerful and wonderful stories of Christmas as well. So, Sherry, what are some thoughts that come to your mind as it relates, as you think about someone who's been involved with ministry addressing this issue in so many ways, what thoughts come to your mind in relation to the article?
So, during the article, I had so many things that stood out to me. One thing is the angel came to Mary and told Mary that she had found favor in God and that she would, you know, carry the Savior Jesus. And while the angel was there, he also told Mary that Elizabeth was pregnant. Mm-hmm. So that's how Mary found out that Elizabeth was pregnant. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she was, in the story, she was of age to be a grandmother, but their purpose was for that time. So part of who they were was to have those babies. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter how old you are or where you are in life, when it's time for your purpose, that's your purpose. And it all we have to do is say, yes, Father, I will do this. So Mary said, yes, I will carry baby Jesus. Mm-hmm. She could have said no, but mm-hmm. she said yes. And so this world will tell you, you know, things that are untrue because they don't know what God's called you to do.
That's right.
This world is fallen and they don't know what God, you know, nobody knows honestly what God has called me to do mm-hmm. or what God has called you, Pastor Joseph, to do, because God's not told everybody. He's just told us. Mm-hmm. So this world will absolutely, if we listen to them, will keep us from our God-given purpose. It reminds me of when I went to Planned Parenthood for advice on what to do with my child. And the counselors there, you know, they knew me. I'd gone several times for birth control and visits or whatever. And the counselor sat across from the desk as lovingly as she possibly could have and truly, truly meant what she was saying, that with everything that I had gone through with the abuse and all, at 15 years old, I was such a hot mess that I didn't need a baby. I did not need to add that burden onto my life, that I was already so messed up. There was very little hope for me anyways. And if I added a child to that, there was zero hope for me. Mm-hmm. And that's not the words that she used exactly, but that's what she meant. Mm-hmm. And Pastor, I want to say, she said that with all the love in her because she was so deceived. That mm-hmm. she truly believed that. And when our government gets behind things of this world that are evil, their deception is they truly believe that. They believe that as hard and strong as I believe how bad it is for us. But they don't have any backing. I have the Bible to back up my belief.
That's
and
right.
They don't have, you know, anything like that to back up their belief. But it's just deception.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've had people to tell me, you know, their different beliefs or whatever, and because they're deceived, they believe it just as powerfully as I believe what I believe. So mm-hmm. she said that in love, and she meant that in love, but it was deception. And I believed it because I didn't know. So our government does a lot of things. People do a lot of things because we're in a fallen world. And without Jesus and without knowing his word and having a real relationship with him where we can pray to him and he can talk to us mm-hmm. and we can have that fellowship with God, how are we supposed to know?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
there's no way we can know if we don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, what's true.
And you know, Sherry, you make so many very important points to consider. The fact is, God's word is pure light. God's word is truth. And God's
right.
word is what is always in our best interest. Yet we live in a world full of deception and lies that run at us by in huge numbers every day. We're lied to through so many sources that often they're so-called experts. They're so-called people who say they're acting in our best interest or doing what's in our... Yet sadly, the devil can seem so compassionate, yet be so full
right.
of hate at the same time that we just don't understand what's going on. God's word
right.
is God's word is one with him, and God's word is love. And so if love says, you shall not murder, that's the voice we need to hear. If love says, choose life, that you and your child, that you and your posterity may live, that's the voice we need to listen to. Again, the world lies to us tremendously in huge numbers every single day. But God's word can always, always, always be trusted. And so praise
Absolutely.
God for that. I want to ask specifically, Sherry, would you pray for youth in our world today? You know, we live in a culture where youth, well, now, of course, all of us need the guidance of the great shepherd, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the word of God is his voice. And so as adults and children, we're wise to always be listening to the voice of our good and great shepherd, who is the Word of God. Yet we live in a world where many times, obviously, children and young people, they look to adults for guidance and wisdom. And sadly, we live in a world where there are lots of adults that are wickedly trying to lead the world astray, including children. Would you pray for more and more ministry to young people that they can come to be led to Christ and become rooted and discipled in the Word of God?
Yes. Father God, this is something that's deep in my heart, that our youth find wisdom and they find mentors that can help them, Lord. God, our youth is bombarded. They are being bombarded by lies and deception in this fallen world, in this age and time that we live in, by every source is out there. God, I ask you to send them mentors to soften their hearts and let them have a hunger for you. And God, I realize that they have a hunger for truth and belonging. And it's so unfortunate that so many don't understand that truth and belonging is from you, that you're calling them. So God, I ask you to send people into their lives that can share the truth in love, that they will receive it. God, we've got to stop being a church of Bible beaters and Bible thumpers, and we've got to start being loving and accepting, not tolerant, but accepting, Father. This is a fallen world, and our youth are fallen, and they need a Savior. They need someone that speaks truth and love to them and to guide them, because, God, ultimately, none of us want to hurt. None of us want to be lost. We all need to be found and need a Savior. So, God, I ask you, please, to lead mentors and disciples to our youth and lead them to you, Father God. No one comes to you that aren't called of you. So, God, call them and talk to their hearts and speak to them and be with them, God. Protect them, Father, from the enemy that's out there. Protect their ears and their eyes that they not see all the evil that's out there, but they see the light in fellow Christians. God, I know that we're all over this world, but I know that we're few. So I ask you to give us the boldness to speak to those that need us and not let us be afraid or not let us be ashamed of the gospel that we carry. Let us shine our light brightly and in love for those that need it. In Jesus' name, I pray, amen.
And Father, too, thank you for the privilege we as your church have of being your hands and feet in the world. Stir us, Lord, to become more and more passionate and diligent about doing the work of carrying out the Great Commission, carrying the gospel to the world, and in a special way to our children and young people as well. Help us to be very deliberate and diligent as the church and as parents, diligent and deliberate in discipling our children, leading them to Christ, teaching them how to read and meditate, and to discern the wisdom and the guidance of your word and to apply it as well. We thank you and we praise you, Lord, and help us to be about your business daily in carrying this out. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Cher, our time is just about gone. If someone wants to get in touch with you or get in touch with Cher Hopper Ministries to connect with you, how can they do that?
Okay, I have my website is sherryhopper.com, and my email is Sherry, Sherry, at Sherry Hopper, Sherryhopper, .com. So I can be reached either through my website or through my email address.
All right. And of course,
I love to hear from people.
Okay. And people can learn more about as well as plug into your ministry by that website as well, correct?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being with us today, Sherry. And please keep up the great work as you minister to adults and young people as well, okay?
Well, thank you for having me on the show again. It's always a privilege to speak with you.
All right. Thank you. And as we normally do before we end the broadcast, if any person listening today was listening and you know you have never made the eternally important decision of asking Jesus Christ to come into your heart to be the Lord and Savior of your life, today is a good day, a great day to be saved. If you'd like to make that step, would you from your heart pray this prayer with me even now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much. You came into the world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be the Lord and Savior of my life. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, today, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to follow you daily. Help me to read your word daily as I need to. Help me to pray daily. Help me to obey you daily and as a lifestyle. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer and committed your life to Christ, we want to connect with you. I'd like to be in touch with you. Once again, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We do want to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow up and grow strong and put down roots deep in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Please do get in touch. Again, that email, joseph@afr.net. If you want to get a copy of the article that we shared, Christmas, Crisis, Pregnancy, and Life, same email, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get it to you. Sherry, thank you so much again for being with us. One more time, if someone wants to get in touch with you, tell them how they can do that.
Yes, it's sherry@sherryhopper.com is my email, and then sherryhopper.com is my website. I would love to hear from people. I like to do Bible teaching and women's conferences, so I'm open for all of that.
All right. Well, thanks so much, and keep up the great work. Thank you for listening.
Thank you. You too. Thank you.
Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.